Blog Talk Radio.
This is the national premiere Soccer League show hosted by Daniel Feuerstein, the show dedicated to the NPSL clubs and the fans. Your host, Daniel Feuerstein.
Good evening, NPSL soccer fans. This is Daniel Feuerstein, and welcome back to the NPSL soccer show here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, talking to you about this great game in the National Premier Soccer League. What a show we have for you tonight. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I cannot wait to get this show going and to get it rolling for all of you tonight. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of the standings going on in the 2023 season of the National Premier Soccer League. In the East, in the Keystone West Conference, one match already played. It was a draw, scoreless draw, between Westchester United and the Pennsylvania Classics, and it is a point to each at the moment. The rest of that conference in Keystone West has not played a match yet. In the Keystone East Conference, at the moment, Atlantic City FC in first place. They have scored four goals. They have 3 points. FC Motown, so the defending NPSL champions, they are currently in second place with 3 points as well, with a plus three. And the Jackson Lions, they are in third place, also with a win with 3 points, but their differential is at two. And the Philadelphia Union's development squad in fourth with a minus two. FC Monmouth in fifth with a minus three. And First State FC with a minus four differential at the moment. So the first three teams with a win, the bottom three teams with a loss in one match. Virginia Dream right now in first place with 4 points. Greenville United in second place with two draws for 2 points. Annapolis Blues playing in a game, unfortunately. First match in, it's a loss. And Virginia Beach City FC also with a loss. They have 0 points with a minus three differential at the moment. FC Frederick, Alexandria Reds, Grove United, Alexandria Rough Diamonds, and the Northern Virginia United have not played a match yet. In the North Atlantic Conference, Hartford City at the moment, along with Kingston Stockade and the New York Shockers, have 3 points each. But Hartford City has a plus one on the differential. Kingston Stockade also a plus one on differential, but they've won 1-0, so currently in second with 1 goal scored. And the New York Shockers right now, also the plus one on the differential. They have scored 3 goals, gave up 2, but they have played 2 matches, so they have a win and a loss. Syracuse FC and Vallejo FC currently with no points, as Syracuse is at a minus one on differential, and Vallejo is with minus two on the differential. Now we go to the Midwest. Great Lakes Conference. We have Steel City FC, formerly Pittsburgh Hotspurs, now known as Steel City FC. They are in first place right now with 1 win, with 3 points, with a plus one. They've scored 2 goals. Cleveland SC, also with their first win of the season, with their first game, they have 3 points. They've scored only 1 goal, 1 differential. Erie Commodores have not played yet. FC Columbus has not played yet. Michigan Rangers have not played yet. Akron City, so far with a loss, with a minus one on the differential. They've scored one and allowed 2. Carpathia FC, also with a loss, but they have allowed 1 goal, also with a minus one on the differential. In the Heartland Conference, Tulsa Athletic already off and running, 2 wins so far, leading the Heartland Conference with 6 points. OKC 1889 FC with a match played with a win and 3 points. Kansas City Soul has not played yet, but hopefully they will get underway this weekend. Arkansas Wolves right now with no points, scoring one, allowing two with a minus one in the differential. Demise NPSL next, also with no points, scoring one, allowing three with a minus two in the differential. And then Rain FK, no points, allowing two goals, also with a minus two on a differential. And then the Gateway Conference, Des Moines United FC, they're off the gate, only match they've played so far, a 2-1 victory over Sunflower State FC, as they have the full 3 points. Etar, Belleville FC, FC Milwaukee Torrent, Club Atletico St. Louis, and Iowa Raptors FC have not played a game yet. In the North Conference, Duluth FC at the moment with a win, along with Joy St. Louis Park, both with 3 points, but Duluth with a plus three on the differential, and Joy St. Louis Park in second with a plus two on the differential. With 1 point each, Dakota Fusion FC, Med City FC, both with the same point totals, both with the same differential and the goals scored. Sioux Falls Thunder have not played yet. LC Aris FC and Minnesota Twin Stars FC, both with no points, but LC Aris FC has minus two in the differential. Minnesota Twin Stars FC has a minus three in last place. Now we go to the South, to the Sunshine Conference. Naples United at the moment defeating Global Soccer Pathways 2-1, and they are in first place with 3 points. Global Soccer Pathways right now in last, having not played yet, Miami Dutch Lions FC, Atletico D Miami Beach, and the Central Florida Panthers. They have not played yet. Lone Star Conference right now, and my God, it's definitely the Texas 11 step. And when I say the Texas 11 step, it's 11 clubs ready to kill each other, all in the Lone Star State of Texas. Brownsville NPSL at the moment, two matches in, 6 points. Laredo Heat in second place with a win, with a plus three on the differential. Denton Diablos in third place, Damon Gokner's club, they have a win, and they are plus two on the differential. Corinthians FC of San Antonio, a win and a draw. They have 4 points, so they really should be in second in the standings. Austin United FC with a draw, with a point. Gallows FC, formerly Irving FC, they haven't played yet. Lubbock Matadors have not played yet. West Texas FC at the moment with a loss. Also, CF10 Houston FC with a loss. Central Texas Coyotes with a loss. Fort Worth Vaqueros at the moment, two matches in, both losses. They are not good right now with no points and a minus four differential. But West Texas with no points, minus two. Houston, minus three. And Central Texas Coyotes, minus three as well on the differential, but they have not scored a goal at this point in time. CF10 Houston has one goal and allowed four. And the Gulf Coast Conference, Pensacola FC right now, tied for points. Southern State Soccer Club, they both have 4 points, but Pensacola with a plus three and Southern States with a plus two. Jacksonville Armada's under 23 side, they have three matches in with a win and two draws for 5 points. Tallahassee SC also three matches in, 5 points. Jacksonville Armada, plus five on the differential. Tallahassee SC with a plus one on the differential. AFC Mobile has not played yet. New Orleans Jesters right now with a loss. And sadly for Florida Roots, three matches in, have not won a match yet. They have no points and a minus nine on the differential. And the Southeast Conference, Pope FC undefeated with 2 matches, 6 points. Charlottetown Hops, 2 matches in with a win and a loss with a +4 on the with an even differential with the plus with the 3 points. Georgia Revolution also 2 matches in with a win and a loss, 3 points. They are also even on the differential, but they have scored 3 goals, while Charlottetown Hops has scored 4. 865 Alliance also with 3 points. They have scored 3 goals, but they have allowed 4 with a -1 on the differential. Georgia Storm with a draw for a point, as well as Appalachian FC with a point. But Georgia Storm right now, -1 on the differential, scoring 2, allowing 3. Well, Appalachian FC also with a -3 on the differential, scoring 2 and allowing 5. In the West in the Golden Gate Conference, El Farolito, 5 matches in, undefeated, 5 wins, 15 points, 11 on the differential. Bavalli, 1839 FC, 5 matches in, 9 points with 3 wins and 2 losses. San Ramon FC, also with 5 matches played, 7 points. Sacramento Gold in 4th place, 5 matches in, 6 points. Sonoma County Soul FC, they have played 1 game more than the rest of them. They have 7 points with 2 wins, 3 losses, and a draw. Oakland Stompers with 5 matches in with a win and 2 draws, 2 losses, 5 points. Oakland SC, 5 matches in with a draw with a -5 on the differential. And FC Davis right now, 5 matches in, also with a point with a -7 on differential in dead last. In the Southwest Conference, FC Arizona undefeated, 4 wins out of 4 matches for 12 points. The Las Vegas Legends right now in 2nd place with 3 wins and a loss for 9 points. California Odyssey so far, 5 matches in, so they have 1 game played more than the rest with 2 wins, a loss, and 2 draws for 8 points. And unfortunately for Lions United FC, they are in last place, 2 draws out of 4 matches for 2 points. Northwest Conference, Crossfire Redmond with the only match so far, defeating Crossfire White, or I guess they separated themselves, so it's Crossfire Red defeating Crossfire White, as Red has the 4-3 victory. And in 1st place, OSA Seattle FC and International Portland Select FC have not played a match yet. So there are your standings for the 2023 NPSL season. And at the moment, the West region looking like it's going very well. We've got all these games going on in the other regions of the NPSL. And once again, go to NPSL.com to stay in touch and to keep up with everything going on in your national league, your league of choice, the National Premier Soccer League. Just fun stuff to talk to. And once again, let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, 20 years of the NPSL being celebrated this year. It is absolutely, without a doubt, a lot of fun to talk about those games back in the day. Exciting times, cups won, championships won, clubs just doing wonderful things, moving forward, and all you can say is that when you are watching some quality soccer that's not in the professional levels, go check it out, NPSL.com. It should be a lot of fun, should be exciting. Cannot wait. Cannot wait to see what's going to happen here. And we are going to see what will happen when the NPSL continues on their 20th season, celebrate 20 years of the league, and it's going to be exciting to follow. So just be ready to have some fun. Be ready to enjoy yourselves. And I personally cannot wait. I cannot wait to see what will happen down the road with more and more action in the National Premier Soccer League. So let's go ahead. Let's get ready. Let's have some fun as we are getting ready to talk about my guests upcoming here on the NPSL Soccer Show. And boy, oh boy, we're going to have ourselves a treat. Joining me soon, hopefully, will be Mr. John Melody. He is a member, owner, I believe, of the Erie Commodores FC, and, of course, an NPSL board member as we talk about this 20 years of the National Premier Soccer League. And once again, Erie Commodores right now, they are in a very, very tough conference, obviously. Erie Commodores, one of the big clubs in the Midwest region, in the Great Lakes Conference. They play against some pretty tough opponents, obviously, fellow Pennsylvania side, Steel City FC, taking on clubs in Ohio, like in Cleveland, Columbus, of course, Michigan Rangers, Akron City, and Carpathia. You know, you can't take these games or these teams lightly, and all you can do is just go out and find some talented games, talented clubs moving forward to battle each other out, battle each other hard, and we'll just have to see what's going to happen, what will happen in this 2023 season. And once again, you know, with John Melody being a board member of the NPSL, he's probably seen a lot of fantastic NPSL soccer. And it's just one of those things where all I know is that when you get quality owners to join and be a part of this league, it is without a doubt a fun time to talk about these wonderful moments when you have been a part of the National Premier Soccer League for so long. It is wonderful. It is exciting. It is fantastic. And personally, I enjoy having these people that come on my show to talk about their clubs, what they expect from their coaching staffs, their players, helping out the community, of course, and talking about how competitive their club is and how competitive their conference is, as well as the region and the league as a whole. And hopefully one day the Erie Commodores will be as we get ready to go forward here and get ready to talk about being a part of the Erie Commodores, as looks like we're having some issues here with the connection. I'm going to try and fix the phones if I can, and we'll see what's going, and hopefully we can fix the phone numbers here and see what's going to happen. We'll try and fix the phones here and try and get John Melody on. But obviously, It's a situation where hopefully I can get John on, and hopefully I don't have any problems here with the phone lines. We can get him on, and we can talk about his time with the MPSL. So we'll see what happens. And we'll have to wait and see. Up, and there we go. Let's see if we have on John Melody right now. John, are you there, sir?
Yes, this is me. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for calling in, and welcome to the show.
I apologize.
Nope, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Probably something happened with the phone lines. I was trying to fix it. It looks like we got it fixed, so I'm glad that we have you on. You being a board member of the MPSL, and, of course, the league celebrating 20 years, what does that mean to you as a board member to see the MPSL growing so long, so positive, to be a footprint in American soccer in this country?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pleasing, obviously. I mean, I've been, you know, a board member for, I suppose, four or five years right now, but I've also been a member of the league and had a team in the league. This will be our 15th season, so I've seen quite a lot, you know, on the field, off the field in the last 15 years. So it's nice to see the league growing for sure, and new teams coming in, strong teams, strong ownerships coming in, and I feel like the league is in a fairly good position right now.
To ask you, you know, being in the Erie, Pennsylvania area, and, you know, I know it's a hardworking area, blue-collared area in Pennsylvania, not far away from Pittsburgh, obviously. But, you know, when you brought the Commodores over to that area, how quickly did it grow for Erie? And what have you seen through the years with this club affecting the town and the city of Erie?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're about 2 hours north of Pittsburgh, and, you know, when we first came in, we were kind of in a conference slash region with the, you know, teams on the Atlantic seaboard, from Atlantic City to Baltimore to, you know, Allentown, Bethlehem, Reading area, so the travel was quite extensive. Obviously, we've seen that area fill in a little bit, so our travel is not as great as it was, but it's been interesting. I mean, I was involved in college soccer in this area, you know, as a player in the late 80s, early 90s, as a coach since the mid-90s, and even into today, involved in college soccer a lot. So we have, you know, we started our own club, you know, a couple of years ago, which was is a good byproduct of what we're doing. We started, a women's team to complement the MPSL as well. So we've seen soccer grow exponentially. We've even seen the level of kid that's coming out of Erie go now and play at high-level Division One schools. We have a couple of kids at Akron University right now, with a couple down south. So it's definitely growing, and we're developing, and, you know, it's, I feel like the future is pretty bright. We got, you know, a couple of tournaments here this weekend, and like I say, it's Western Pennsylvania. It's a traditional American sport kind of hotbed. You know, football, basketball, baseball, even a lot of hockey in this part of the country. So, you know, soccer, we've had to work hard to kind of put it on the map, but we're in a good position. We get lots of media coverage. We get good sponsorship right now, so the club is strong, and, you know, we're proud of what we've been able to accomplish in keeping it going. So through some tough years, but I feel like we're in a good position now to move forward, and I'm quite happy with where we are.
I'm glad to hear that. And you know, as the years have gone by, and then you've seen how the sport has grown in this country, how happy have you been to watch this sport grow here in the United States? And, of course, we can't forget, you know, the World Cup is coming back to the United States, being shared with Canada and Mexico. When you're seeing people in every major city in this country, especially in the eastern side of Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, that's going to be hosting some games. How happy have you been to see that growth coming here in this country nationwide?
Yeah, I know. It's exciting, and it's really pleasing to be happy to be a part of that growth, no matter how small that is. You know that you've had a hand in growing the game. You know, and again, we're in small town, you know, a small town America here in mid-America for all the world. And to push soccer and promote soccer. But I see people at games right now that I never thought I'd ever see in a soccer game 10, 15 years ago. So it's interesting how the dynamic in soccer works. Sometimes, you know, with football, with basketball, with baseball, with a lot of traditional sports in America, it's mom and dad taking the kids to a game. I find sometimes with soccer, it's the kids taking mom and dad to a game. So, you know, they want to go, and parents get more into it. And again, that's the part of it that's exciting for me, to see people that have grown up with the game, and now they're coming back to watch the game, help the game, promote the game, coach the game. You know, they play it as kids, and now their kids are playing. You know, my own kids is a good example of that. And, you know, it's good. I think, again, the future's bright. Like you say, the fact that the World Cup's coming back here in a couple of years. You know, we just had our whole club in Columbus there a week or so ago, and we went to a crew game a couple of weeks before that. We were in Cincinnati for a tournament. We brought the whole club to a Cincinnati game. So, you know, people want to do these things, and they want these experiences from soccer. And, you know, one time you go play a tournament, and somebody was like going to a basketball game or a baseball game afterwards. Now they want to go see pro soccer games. So I've seen a lot of growth in the last 15 years under the NPSL, under the Commodores umbrella. And again, I'm excited about it. And, you know, I feel like the next few years we have to push and promote the game. It's going to be heavily publicized here in the not-too-distant future with the World Cup coming in. It's just an exciting time for the game. It's an exciting time for NPSL. And, you know, just happy and excited to be a part of it and help it all grow.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your club right now. They haven't played a match yet. I believe they'll be starting this upcoming weekend. This Great Lakes Conference, how difficult has this conference been, or at least whichever conference you've been a part of with some of these these teams that you've been playing against, you know, throughout the Commodores' existence?
Yeah, you know, we started in 2009, our first season. You know, again, we're in with some of the teams that I mentioned earlier. You know, it's funny how there's probably not any of those teams left in the NPSL for one reason or another, and other teams take their places. But, you know, 2009, we made it to a national final, actually. 2011, we made it to a national semifinal. 2013, we made it to a national semifinal. We've won several conferences, have several U.S. Open Cup bids in that time. Albeit the last couple of years we've struggled. I've struggled to kind of nail down a coach that, you know, can get us to back to where we would like to be. You know, we're in the same conference and done battle with particularly Cleveland, who have been obviously exceptional in the last number of years within the NPSL. And this Great Lakes Conference now, so it's a realignment from the Rust Belt Conference. Some teams came out, some teams came in. So we're in with teams out of Michigan now, is the Carpathia, Michigan Rangers, which were Muskegon. And, you know, Akron are getting better. Columbus are in. You know, so there's a lot of good teams. And I feel like this conference is going to be strong. There's no easy games. Anybody can take anybody on a given day. We start tomorrow at home with Carpathia. And, you know, I hope and believe we're ready for it. And I'm always excited this time of year. You know, a doubleheader with our women's team tomorrow night. So, you know, just I'm excited to get going. I'm excited to see what our new coach has been able to do. And again, we'll see what happens. But it's always a good thing. You know, I think we have a very, very good relationship with all these teams off the field. You know, on the field, then, you know, we're just trying to turn each other over once or twice a year. So it's a good position to be in. I like the conference we're in. I like the strength of the conference we're in. I like the strength of our region. And, you know, to be quite honest, I like the strength of the NPSL right now.
And so do I. I think the NPSL will last a good long time, and I believe that right now you're one of the top conferences at the moment within the league. Obviously, there's other conferences, you know, around the nation that is strong and difficult as well. But honestly, John, I just think that is the one conference everyone needs to take a good look at and to make sure that they know that your side and everyone else does very well. John, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Hope to have you back on again soon. And good luck this year.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Now, thank you for joining me tonight. That's once again Mr. John Melody of the Erie Commodores, also a board member of the MPSL, talking about 20 years in the league. Joining me right now, I have not had him on in a long while, but he's done some magical things in southeastern New Jersey, especially at the gambling haven on the East Coast, and that is, once again, Andrew Wildgus of Atlantic City FC. Andrew, welcome back, and how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Great to be with you, and great to have you back. John, you know, Andrew, since putting Atlantic City FC on the map with National Soccer leagues and minor leagues of soccer and everything that's been going on. What have you seen so far from the Philadelphia, southeastern New Jersey area that you've attracted plenty of support and, of course, promotions for the game in your area?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the game is genuinely growing. I know everybody gives lip service to that concept, and over time there's been a lot of false starts in the U.S. market, but I always go back to when I was really falling in love with the game as a young man, and Arsenal were the team that I was really infatuated with Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp, and that season that they went undefeated in the Premier League, I think I saw three games. It was almost impossible to see a game. And you fast forward to now, we live in a really magical age where not only can you watch virtually every game around the world, but even on lower level soccer, pretty much every game that we've had from Atlantic City FC over the last five plus seasons minus the COVID season has been recorded and captured, at least to some extent. You know, the quality keeps improving. The groups we have working with it keeps improving. So I think access to be able to follow a team has really been incredible, and the technology with companies like Vio and what they offer has really helped out a lot. And I genuinely think you have a real passion of younger players growing up watching the best of the best and emulating them. And that wasn't really the case when I was growing up. We didn't know who to copy. You know, my favorite striker growing up was Batistuta from Fiorentina, who's an Argentinian striker. And, you know, I only got to watch him in highlights. I never really got to watch him play. And when you have a young man or young woman growing up and they get to watch their heroes week in, week out, and emulate them and see this incredible level of quality and, quite frankly, all this opportunity to get involved and start playing. I think it's a very special thing, and I think that makes it different than before.
No, it really does. I'm not going to ask you about Arsenal because I know it's kind of painful at the moment, but I promise I'm going to be kind to you. No?
Not really. I mean, did anybody really think they had a better squad than Manchester City with what that group puts into it financially? I didn't. And once you lose a key player on defense, everybody knows, like, you're only as good as your weakest link. And unfortunately, when you don't have exceptional depth like some squads do, a single injury can be the difference. And you know, I applaud them for what they did. They're a very young squad, and I think they'll be able to build off of it, and I like the culture that they're building. So I'm not disheartened like a lot of people are. I look on the bright side a little bit. So,
well, let's just say I have some friends that are also Arsenal fans, and I was kind of rooting for them to, you know, unseat Man City, but, you know, hey, what do I
not
know?
This year.
What do I
not
know?
Not this year.
Not this year. Well, they had a good run, but hopefully it'll be next year, but we'll see what happens. But going to Atlantic City FC at the moment, of course, the Keystone Conference has been broken up into two separate conferences now. Now you have East and you have West. Any changes for you how to prepare for this upcoming season, or you just felt like, okay, it's not a big deal, we're just not going to play a lot of games like we used to?
No, well, first of all, we're playing exactly the same number of games that we've always played, so that hasn't changed at all. I think because you have six teams in each division, you are able to align geographically and make the travel much more reasonable for every team. You know, there were games where Atlantic City would go to Hershey or to Scranton, and I'm not complaining because I know my fellow owners in the South and the West and all these places that have travel that's so heinous they have to get on buses to handle it are listening to me and being like, oh, poor baby. But, you know, to go from 4 hours to 2 hours as your longest trip is a big deal. It's a big deal in terms of resources expended, in terms of guys' time. And if you're playing a 7 o'clock game in Scranton and it's a 4 hour trip, you know, guys are not getting home till 1, 2 in the morning. And then a lot of guys don't live in Atlantic City, and they have to then meet at team headquarters and then go home. So we had guys getting home 3, 4 o'clock in the morning from certain trips. So again, not to complain. We're all very grateful for the opportunity to be playing, but I think it makes a lot more sense to play a home and away against nobody farther than 2 hours away for everybody in both conferences, right? It just makes perfect mm-hmm. sense. And then we'll settle the rivalries and the debates in the playoffs. You know, we love playing Westchester United. They're an incredible program, a program that's about as old as I am as a human being. So the fact that we've, you know, had a competitive relationship with them and have held our own is a source of great pride. But, you know, if we don't get to play them, it's not the end of the world. And we'll either get to face them in the playoffs if we're worthy enough to do it, or we won't. You know, but mm-hmm. we still get to keep the rivalries intact with what I think are our core geographic rivalries, especially FC Monmouth and Motown, who we came into the league at the same time with, both of those clubs. And then we really like playing First State FC, the Delaware, New Jersey, especially Delaware, South Jersey rivalry / connection is a very positive one. And then adding the Philadelphia Union into the mix is an absolute boon for all of us. I mean, not only is it tremendous to start to see the Major League Soccer pyramid work with lower level, which makes sense. We should be doing that. But, you know, to have them in our backyard and the franchise as successful and respectable as they are is fantastic. And, you know, we're already working with the Philadelphia Union on esports events in partnership with the Esports Innovation Center at Stockton University to do some fun stuff with them. So we're looking to build brands and build bridges with the brands and to expose their fans to us and vice versa. So I think these are really positive ways to do it, and getting their, you know, their future, their kids that have been part of their academy system, that a lot of them are top Division I players around the country at schools who very well could be future Major League Soccer players, and to have them in that branded program with the Union crest is good for all of us. So, you know, the combination of short travel and the new addition and the playoff structure, which still, you know, will have East versus West at the end of the day, right? We're still going to have a great final matchup, whether it's, you know, us versus Westchester, or, you know, I don't want to say anything except us. but you get whoever comes.
Absolutely.
Whoever comes at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then you throw the Jackson now, Lions into the mix too, and they're substantial.
Oh, yeah.
We have a huge history against them, and, you know, their guys, God bless them, have played for pretty much every team in the NPSL. So, you know, there's rivalries all over the place.
No, very true. And that's always a great time when it's Atlantic City versus FC Monmouth. So that's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
I know I had you on a while ago to talk about a possible stadium situation. Just out of curiosity, if you can give an update to that, or are those plans still in the works?
Yeah, so, you know, I can give an update, and I would say in the works would be an understatement. Look, we struggled mightily with trying to acquire Surf Stadium. That was a very public circumstance. There's a lot of proposals for the land that Surf Stadium is on. I don't know which of them, if any, are ever going to really happen, but the possibility of them happening has prevented us from being able to secure terms for that stadium. We had a partnership to bring minor league baseball back to Atlantic City with professional soccer at a revised Surf Stadium, and we couldn't get a lease that made any sense for the ownership group we had put together. So unfortunately, that had to be put aside. And, you know, we started working with another group that is based right outside Atlantic City that's building a massive sports and entertainment park. And we think that project has a lot of teeth, we're really excited to work on the prospects of that, and that could be an amazing thing for us. But we're still engaged, you know, with the state and the city to some extent to talk about possibilities. But we've really been, you know, frozen out of Atlantic City proper, and that's a shame, but it's unfortunately just the reality. So we're very grateful to be at Stockton University. They just did their new soccer field over completely. So it's a very intimate stadium, 500 seats, great atmosphere, you know, just really tight quarters, which we love. And we're excited about it. You know, it's a great place to play. We're very blessed to be able to play there. And for now, we're very happy with that situation. But for the future, we're pursuing a number of different projects. And I suspect some of them will really gain some momentum because of the 2026 World Cup bid. You know, one of
Absolutely.
These projects, I think, are intricately tied to that development. So, you know, it's just not going to happen fast is really what it comes down to. But as I said to you when we started day one, we're not in a hurry. You know, our mission is not MLS or bust. Our mission is local grassroots soccer, the work on youth soccer in the community, which I got to tell you, since we started, has been the best thing that has ever happened to me in terms of this program. Like, for example, Atlantic City High School now has a women's soccer program. They didn't when we started. Atlantic Cape Community College has built a men's and women's soccer program, who one of our assistant coaches, Gio Paz, is the head coach of. That didn't happen before we got involved. We've got AC Police Activities League, which built a beautiful indoor facility about 10 minutes outside of Atlantic City proper that we're partnered in, that we now run clinics at. We actually ran a referee clinic that we sponsored where we trained 70 referees locally, which was huge for our region. First time we've ever had that in Atlantic City. It's always been in either Cherry Hill or Red Bank. So we worked with a charter school called the Principal Charter Academy and had a program with 160 kids that ran all winter. And we've never been a program before that's been able to do those things in the off season. So the progress for me is 100% focused on the grassroots level and what we can do for youth soccer by putting this all together. And the fact that we've got this great partnership with Stockton is a real blessing, and we are gaining a lot of momentum with the government entities that I think will eventually lead to more progress. But, you know, there is something to be said with not rushing and not biting off more than you can chew, so to speak. So I'm not sure that stadium deal would have ultimately been in our best interest long term anyway, because, you know, what league are we going to play in? What's the stability of those leagues? Those are all questions we still don't have answers to this day.
No, I understand. And you know what? Look, as long as it's still on the table and built somewhere around the Atlantic City area, you know, I'm always rooting for you and any MPSL team that wants to purchase land and build your own stadium so you don't have to worry about other ramifications that could be interfering with the club and the schedule that you play in. You're off to a great start. Absolutely. You're off to a great start here in the Keystone East Conference. First win of the season over FC, over at First State FC with a 4-0 victory. What's it like so far with your head coach right now and what he has done in this first match in Alex Balog?
Yeah, well, so Alex has moved into our technical director role. He still assists, but Alexis Mendoza, another Alex, we just call him Alex. Alex Mendoza is our head coach, and Alex has been with our program since day one. As a local assistant, really worked his way up. He's a very young, passionate, energetic guy who's native to Atlantic City, and that's a huge help for us. Again, having that presence here year-round is massive for us. So we had training start in January, you know, for the core of our team. We've never had that before. So the fact that we're getting in some guys from college who just got done to kind of bolster our roster is fantastic, but we've had a healthy number of players that have been in this program now for several years, and they've you know, been working in the off season, coaching and training kids, and then getting together for practices. And then when the collegiate players are able to join us, they do, or when we're scrimmaging against colleges. So we've already, you know, played Rowan and Camden County College in exhibition games. And again, getting in shape leading into the first game versus, you know, finding your feet, so to speak, by week three or four, which a lot of these NPSL programs are forced to do, and which we were forced to do, quite frankly, for many years, is a big advantage. So we really like the group that we've got. It's really local, massive emphasis on New Jersey. Like some of our best players this year are all New Jersey products. Colin Beasley scored a brace in that game, is going to be a star at Rutgers this year. And, you know, we love the squad we've got put together, and then we've got some guys coming back that have been part of our program in years past, some guys from out of the country that I think are going to add something really special to it. And then we might have a surprise announcement or two for the second half of the season. Teaser.
I can't wait for that teaser to come in. Well, you know, Andrew, I want to say, as always, thank you. Oh, please do. I'll be waiting for it. No, don't worry. Don't worry. Whatever's offline does not get reported unless you tell me go ahead. But
you can have him on as a guest as soon as we actually make the announcement. He comes over the pond. But I think it'll be fun for the league, and it'll be a pretty cool story. But again, you know how these things go, man. There's still a lot of things that could happen. So I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Oh, now we're going into guessing games, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, like I said, you won't have to guess that long, my friend. I'll send you a text offline, but I just don't want to make the announcement until it's
No. Listen, look, it's fine. You do whatever you want. I'll get the info. Don't worry. Mum's the word. But, you know, you're teasing the audience very badly here, you naughty boy.
Yeah. I got to keep those likes and follows coming in. I suppose that's the world we live in now, today. But I am grateful for the social media presence that we've put together, because it really helps with sponsorship. And that's something that I would definitely say to any club out there looking to really grow your brand, is you got to be a 12-month-a-year team on social media. You got to be active all year, and you got to find ways to engage even if you're not playing. And I think that's something that we're still learning how to do, and we want to keep doing better. But, you know, that's really critical. I think the sponsors find a lot of value in that, and that's really important.
No, it really, really is. And, you know, I can't wait to see who this person is. And, of course, when it's official, you let me know, and I'll have you back on so we can pass along the information.
That sounds fantastic. I appreciate the time so much.
All right, great. Well, thanks again, Andrew, and I'll talk to you again soon.
You as well. Take care.
I will. That's Andrew Wildgus, president of Atlantic City FC, as they are getting ready to have some fun times here in the MPSL and fun times in the NPSL with him and Atlantic City FC at the moment. Off to a solid start with a big win over First State SC with a 4-0 victory, and hopefully more victories to come for him and the club. And we'll see what they can do, if they can make a big playoff run. And who knows, maybe they will qualify once again for the Open Cup and finally play in the Open Cup as we get ready for more stuff. Now just waiting for my next guest, Dean Muckle, the assistant coach of Michigan Rangers FC, as we await for him to join us tonight. And we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen here. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun to talk Michigan Rangers soccer with all of you once he calls in. And just waiting to see what's going to happen. But other than that, once again, Michigan Rangers, a very solid club. They have not started to play yet, but we'll wait and see, of course, when they do take on their first match of the season, as they will be taking on Akron City, as they'll be hosting them at the Davenport University's main campus in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it should be exciting, should be fun, and we'll just wait and see when Mr. Muckle comes on. And we'll just I'm hoping we're not having another phone issue. We'll try and fix the phone lines again if there is a phone issue. And we'll see what happens moving forward. So we will be waiting here. Once again, this is the 4ACs Fire American Soccer Show. This is also the National Premier Soccer League show, as we get ready to talk about your clubs in the NPSL. Now, I believe we have on Mr. Dean Muckle, the assistant coach of Michigan Rangers FC. Dean, are you with us?
Yeah, hey, man. Sorry about the delay. We just got finished our game against Akron City, so got delayed a little bit, so I do apologize.
No worries. No worries, no worries. So you can give us a result?
We won 1-0, scored 20 minutes into the first half, and then we created a few good chances across the spell of the rest of the game, but we couldn't manage to put one in the back of the net. So Akron put up a good test against us, and there'll be a battle for any team that they come up and play against.
Absolutely, and for Akron, that'll be their second loss of the season, and at the moment, Michigan Rangers will move up, and you'll be joining Steel City and Cleveland SC in the top three positions until we find out what happens with the rest of the matches in the Great Lakes Conference. To talk about being in this Great Lakes Conference, if you don't mind, why is it such a difficult conference to be a part of?
I think, look, we had prior experience playing against a couple of teams in the Midwest Conference now, Milwaukee. We get to play Carpathia again. Me and Stuart were a part of Muskegon Risers last year, so we got to kind of dip our toe in the water, but we're kind of experiencing a lot of different types of teams now in the Great Lakes and, different profile of players. Like tonight we played a lot of players who play on Akron's D1 team, so they have a really good quality group, and I feel that that might kind of transcend across the rest of the team. So we're looking forward to, to playing the other teams in the division that we haven't, necessarily met face-to-face before, geographically. We're obviously the most Western team, so travel comes into play a lot for away games, but the same can be said for other teams coming to us. So, we're excited about the profile of players that we get to play against.
Where do you get most of your players from? The universities around Michigan, like Michigan State, University of Michigan, the smaller schools? Where do you get your players mostly from?
Yeah, we sit at the top of the pyramid of our youth program. So we have a few youth players that went to the college ranks, that are playing, as well as coaches that coach at our youth setup. So they're playing, and they've prolific college careers. We've got quite a few lads from the local area. We've got three boys that, come from UNOH out of, Ohio, and three lads that come from UAlbany. I think it's just a case of they've reached out to us and they've kind of ticked all the boxes in terms of the profile of players that they are, who we need. So I would say, apart from six to nine players that are from, 100, 200, plus miles, a lot of our lads are from, 20, 25 miles from where we sit in Grand Rapids.
That's great. That's great to hear. And being here for a while, like we're in Muskegon, now you're here with Michigan Rangers, surprises you with the level of talent for players that you've seen in Michigan that you're proud of, or that maybe was unexpected from your eyes when you were starting to be over here in the U.S.?
Yeah, look, I moved here in 2013, and Stuart, the head coach, kind of came here 4 or 5 years before me. You can make a good professional living out here as football, which I know many people think, well, why not in Europe or England? It's just over diluted with, people that have been in the game for 50, 60 years, in terms of the talent, I think Michigan in the Midwest, especially experiencing it from the younger, boys and girls of the youth setup, 13s through 19s, there are some teams that would, blow your mind, at the different levels of play that they have regionally, like nationally and locally. Just talking about some of our youth teams as well, we kind of stand back and think, these players are going to go to college and 5 or so years' time, you know, and they're going to go to big colleges and, you know, they're going to have very successful college careers, you know. So in terms of the standard difference, like it is, you know, there's obviously a different culture coming over here, you know, like we had a great attendance at the game today, but, you know, it doesn't really encapsulate the types of crowd that you get from back home. So them cultural differences are very apparent, you know, that it's obviously different and we appreciate all of our support. And but I think if you go to a game of this level in England, there's, you know, there's a bit more atmosphere. And that kind of tells the tale of how kids come up through the ranks. You know, the good ones always have, the good players always have a semblance of like culture, you know. And the ones that don't are either blue collar, hard working, you know, or they're not, you know.
No, I understand completely. And, you know, once again, it's great to see having you over there at Michigan Rangers to give guidance to these players and using their natural gifts to go out there and perform well on the football pitch. And hopefully it'll be a good, long, good, positive season for the Rangers when you guys are getting ready to compete more. After, of course, your first match of the season against – who's your next opponent after your defeat – after you defeated Akron City?
So we Cleveland come to us on Sunday.
And at the moment, they also are undefeated with a victory and second place currently. Of course, they were on
a short – I think they're playing tonight,
aren't they? Oh, well, let me double-check that. I'm not quite sure. Let me double-check that. No, Cleveland will be playing on Sunday against
– okay.
On the 21st against you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. So it's a quick turnaround for you after, of course, a day off tomorrow. But, you know, they just went through an Open Cup run themselves, unfortunately eliminated in the second round against Richmond Kickers. But yeah. Is that the big dream for this club, if you do get on a run into the playoffs and make one of those spots for the Open Cup?
Yeah, look, I think it, last year we actually got an Open Cup bid with the Risers, but just we weren't able to kind of follow through with it. You know, we decided, the Risers decided to take a step back from men's football in the summer, and then we kind of just did the bid, kind of fell through the cracks. So we're obviously eager to get back there for next year and see what type of run we can go into. You know, semi-finalists last year of the Nationals. You know, we're looking to do the same, if not better, this year. You know, we always want to take steps forward, and you know, we can never take a step back. You know, so we're very fortunate with the run we had. You know, going like an undefeated season until the semi-final, had two draws along the way, but we were undefeated, and that's what we're trying to kind of create this year with the set of boys that we have.
Very true. Very good. Very, very good. And hopefully everything will continue to go well for you guys in the 2023 season. Dean, I just want to say thank you very much for joining me tonight. Congratulations on your first win of the season. Good luck in your second match this upcoming Sunday. And continued success for the 2023 season for Michigan Rangers. Thank you very much, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it as well. Thank you. Cheers. Dean Muckle, assistant coach of Michigan Rangers FC, as joining us after a match to talk about the victory and, of course, their club and getting ready for this 2023 season. Already with a win under their belts, 1-0 victory over Akron City FC, and hopefully they will have a solid season coming through for them, and cannot wait to see, and as well as hear more news coming from Michigan Rangers as we get ready for this big moment for them in this 2023 season of the National Premier Soccer League season. Now we are just waiting for my next guest as we get ready to head on down to the Peach State. And once again, it is a pleasure and an honor to talk about this club as we get ready to discuss, once again, one of the staple clubs of the NPSL, and that is the Georgia Revolution. Waiting for head coach Jack Marchant to come in and talk to us, to talk about his club. Of course, Georgia Revolution has been around in the NPSL for a very, very long time. One of those great teams that have gone on to do some wonderful things, have had a couple of Open Cup bids themselves moving on forward. Of course, I remember when I started this show, and this was during the U.S. Open Cup review shows, talking to the Georgia Revolution. I think forgot who the head coach was at the time. And, of course, you know, they're taking on another Georgia side after beating them in the first round. It was a team in the first round, and, of course, their next opponent was another Georgia club, and he said in that match, there will be blood. And I remember that. That was a great line. And, boy, you know, can't wait to see what's going to happen with the Georgia Revolution further on. Joining me now is the head coach of Georgia Revolution, as Jack Marchant. Jack, welcome to the show, and how are you, sir?
I'm good, fellas. How we doing?
Doing very well, very well. Thank you for coming on. And how are you tonight, and what's been going on with the Revolution, being such a staple of the National Premier Soccer League for so long?
I'm doing well. No, it's been a privilege. And, you know, to be part of a club that's got a lot of history in the NPSL and that stayed true to the NPSL, again, I love every part of it. I mean, this is my second year now. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into last year. I obviously had a big reputation to follow in Ricky Davey winning the conference that we were in then. And, you know, I thought we put in a lot of good stuff last year, and to be able to return a lot of guys, it's been good. I've really enjoyed the early part of the season. I mean, we all know how it is early part of the season working in a league like the NPSL. There's a lot of moving pieces, and you're just waiting for all those cards to kind of fall into place. And I feel like we're getting there, and I'm excited to get into the kind of meat and potatoes of the season, as it were.
Very true, and it's going to be a really, really big one for your side. And obviously, it's always going to be a difficult thing when you're taking on these big-time teams. Obviously, Alliance, 865 Alliance is an expansion team. You got Georgia Storm, Charlottetown Hops, another expansion team, Appalachian FC. I think they're second year in the league. Apotheos FC. What has the Southeast Conference been like for the Georgia Revolution, and how much of a knock-em-out, drag-em-out conference has it been?
Man, it's a slog every week, and I think I learned that the hard way but the good way last year. Again, I talked about it previously on another show, talking about how The year that we won it with Ricky at the helm, again, we were the most experienced team. And then you look back at last year, Appalachian win it with a very experienced team. And then you look at this year, where it's honestly a complete crapshoot. I mean, Alliance came out flying. They beat us on our home turf, and I give them full credit for that. And then we turn around and go to Storm, which is an extremely difficult game, and win there. And I mean, Apotheos this season look extremely strong. I think on paper they're the strongest team in the league, and they're the team to beat. But, you know, Appalachian are there as returning champions. They've got a point to prove, and then you've got Charlottetown, who are new to the league as well, picked up their first win last week. Honestly, it changes week by week, and that's what's so exciting about this league, but also what makes every week so important. And we talk about it a lot as our group, and in that it's a long but short summer. You know, like when you lose, you feel like the summer could end next week. When you win, you wish the summer would go on forever. So it's just one of those slogs that you got to kind of get through. But I think ultimately that's what makes it so enjoyable overall.
No, very true. And, you know, you have your home games here and there. Obviously, you were at McDonough High School, McDonough, Georgia, And, of course, there's also University of West Georgia Soccer Complex. What has surprised you about your area, or at least the state of Georgia? Of course, we all know Atlanta United is the number one club because it's an MLS. But what has surprised you about players that come from the Georgia schools that puts your team into a positive position when you're on the pitch?
You know, again, and full credit, it's not going to mean a whole lot coming from me, but I think a lot of credit has to go to Atlanta United and the amount of support they've piled into the team and how much of a hotbed for soccer it's become. I mean, my full-time job is in the collegiate game on the women's side in Georgia, but just seeing the interest that Atlanta United have generated over the past 4 or 5 years, Atlanta has become a huge hotbed for soccer, which when it comes to stuff like the MPSL and USL2, it's become a very popular place for guys who want to come and play. And ultimately, over the course of the 4 or 5 years Atlanta United have been around, I would say that the standard of soccer in Georgia over the summer has improved massively because, like I said, it's a hotbed and it's where people want to be. And I mean, I appreciate it, getting to work for the Georgia Revolution and getting to recruit to an area like this. But again, I don't think the work that Atlanta United did on the front end can be underestimated, because they've set the foundation for clubs like ourselves and Georgia Storm to be able to recruit the type of players that we do, and be able to provide high level amateur soccer for those people in and around Atlanta who maybe not be able to get to Atlanta United games every week. So, you know, it's a really exciting place to be at the current time.
Absolutely. Of course, the hope is Georgia Revolution can get back into the Open Cup. It's been a while since they've been there, and of course, you got to be on a big run in the playoffs and, of course, qualify for the playoffs first to get to that spot. What would that mean for you personally to get the Georgia Revolution back into the Open Cup and possibly get on a run?
It would mean everything. I mean, I was privileged enough to coach in the Open Cup a couple of years ago, and it was a great experience for me. But not only for me as a coach, I think it was a fantastic experience for the players as well. And it puts the Georgia Revolution not only on kind of a regional Atlanta map, it puts us on a nationwide map as well. And I think it would mean everything to myself, the club, and the players to be able to get there. And it's what we tell the guys. We want to give them a fantastic experience over the summer and of high-level soccer, but ultimately we're here to win, and we're here to win conferences and make deep runs into the national tournament to be able to participate in stuff like the Open Cup. So, you know, it's high on our agenda. I wouldn't say it's our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to be successful within our league and see how far we can get, and if we can do that, we know that we can reap the benefits of being in the Open Cup next year.
Very true, very true. And, of course, moving on, as you said, it's a slog fest in this conference. First match against 865 Alliance, that must have been a difficult one. You fell 2-1, but then you come back against Georgia Storm, and you get that first victory of the season. Same score, but this time you're on the positive side of the ledger. What does that mean to defeat a big-time rival, especially a derby rival against a fellow Georgian side?
It was huge. And as I mentioned in our kind of post-match stuff, I think it's the type of result that can really kick-start a season for you. The summer's all about momentum. If you can generate momentum early and keep it going, it sets you up for the rest of the season. I mean, I gave full credit to 865, and I still do, for the performance they put in at our place. They came down, they were disciplined, and they had a game plan, and they executed it to a T. And you know what? We played like game of a season in a summer season. A lot of guys who were unfamiliar with each other. We had 2 training sessions before we played that first game. And, you know, it was a struggle. But then fast forward a week, fast forward 3 training sessions, the guys get to know each other. You start to get on the same wavelength. And you go on the road to a place like Storm, and you win, which last year was a happy hunting ground for us. It brings back all those good memories and those motivations that get you to where you want to get to. And that's kind of what we've built on all week, knowing that we've got to come home and build on that tomorrow as we take on a Charlottetown team who, you know, struggled in the first game at a very tough place in Apotheos, but then picked up a very handy win at home next week. So, you know, it's two teams going into the game high on confidence, and it should be an electric atmosphere tomorrow with two teams gunning to get 3 points. And, you know, as the home team, we've got to manage the expectation and sort of kill the hype that they've brought and then just boss the game, you know. We're excited for tomorrow. We've got a few new faces in the squad, which is good to see. So, you know, we're getting ready to rock and roll and pick up 3 points tomorrow.
That's fantastic to hear. If you don't mind me asking, I'm not asking for the playbook, obviously. I don't want you to give away all your secrets, of course. But, you know, do you like to play possession? Do you like to press? Do you like to defend, counter? What type of football or soccer do you like to, you know, throw on the pitch, whether it be for the Revolution or for the women's team that you manage in the college ranks?
First and foremost, I want to win. So whatever sets us up to be successful and win. But, you know, this is a very good question, and I get asked this a lot. For me, again, when the game kicks off, and even in practice sessions, I'm a spectator. I want to be able to enjoy watching what I'm watching. If I enjoy watching what I'm watching as a soccer guy, I feel like it's fun to play in when we're playing. So I want to be high energy. And again, I've lived in the South now for about 8 years. It's hot down here. You want the ball. You want the ball. You want the other team chasing the ball. You want the other team defending. That's ultimately what we want to do. We want to be on the front foot. I want to have the ball, and I want to be exciting. And when we don't have it, you work hard to get it back. And you do that, you're going to win the ball in more favorable positions. And again, ultimately, you're going to be exciting to watch. And that's what I want to bring to the table. I want to bring players onto the field who are exciting for our fans to watch and going to create things and be something that you're happy to pay money for. So, you know, that's the way I operate. Again, I don't want to give too much away. But ultimately for me, I just want to be exciting. High octane is the way that I like to operate.
Who's your best player right now on the Revolution that's very dangerous, that you love seeing him do magical things?
There's a few people. I mean, Justin Guest has scored 2 goals for us in our first 2 games. He's a Georgia State boy. He's going into his fifth year at Georgia State. I mean, he's unplayable, and he's great to work with, great to coach, really humble kid. You know, you wish you had 11 of him on the team. We've got Callum Scorer in this week, who played for us last summer. Again, phenomenal footballer, who, again, for me, is just a pleasure to watch. But we brought in Dave Nijenhuis this summer, a Dutch centre-back from Tennessee Wesleyan. Again, just a total footballer. But I honestly, it's a privilege to work with all the guys that I work with, and we're in for an exciting summer.
So you got some intel from the Dutch themselves, or you just liked what you saw?
If he could give me a little bit more intel, I'd be happy. But he's a phenomenal footballer. Again, I work closely with his coach up at Tennessee Wesleyan, and he's just been brilliant for us. Great leader on the field. And to be honest, it's the most important thing that I've learned throughout the time I've been at the Georgia Revolution and been around the MPSL is experience pays a lot of bills, to use that expression. And that's what we've kind of gone for. I think we're an older team this year, and we could manage games. Because I go back to last season, we won 4 games, we tied 4 games, and we lost 2 games. But in the 4 games that we tied, in 3 of them we were winning. And I think if you look forward to this year, I'd like to think with the squad that we've got, those ties turn into wins. And then all of a sudden, you're now talking about topping the conference. And like you said earlier, you're putting yourself in a position to qualify for the Open Cup, which is a massive bonus on top of everything.
It really, really is. And I hope, once again, Georgia Revolution does qualify for the Open Cup, and maybe we'll give you that opportunity to be seen nationally across the country through the streaming services so we can see what Georgia Revolution is all about. But I just want to say, Jack, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on. Good luck with the rest of the Georgia Revolution season, and hopefully you'll make a big run.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Have a good one. Speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much. You too.
Bye.
Jack Marchand, head coach. Bye-bye. Jack Marchand, head coach of the Georgia Revolution, as they are big-time team getting ready to move on and off to a good start. We'll see what they can do for the rest of the year. But at the moment, it's been pretty good so far, and very, very happy to see them doing well at the moment. And once again, hopefully they will do even better if they do qualify for the U.S. Open Cup in 2024, and hopefully we'll see what's going to happen there. So just waiting for my final guest tonight to come on the show, and this is the general manager of the Fort Worth Vaqueros, and Anthony Harris, as we await for him to give us a call and to talk about his club. Unfortunately for them at this point in time, not a good start for them at the moment. They with two losses on the season, and hopefully it'll be a turnaround. There's still plenty of time in their season to hopefully turn things around and to get them on the positive side of the ledger. So just waiting for Mr. Anthony Harris to join me. And once again, you know, look, when you talk to these owners of the MPSL, especially those in Texas, I can't tell you how fantastic they have been. Now, look, all the owners and all the people in every club, in everywhere part of this nation that is part of the National Premier Soccer League, they have done a fantastic job of informing you, as well as being a guest on my show, to come on and talk about their clubs moving forward, obviously, to talk about what they love to do with this game and everything else involved in this game. Just wonderful to see, wonderful to talk about. And, you know, I've had on people, obviously, look, Damon Golkner, Denton Diablos, you know when he's on my show talking about his club, whether it be on my regular show here on the MPSL soccer show or on the Open Cup shows, he has been fantastic to work with. So, you know, I always enjoy having these owners and people who work for these clubs in Texas. They do a wonderful job. And speaking about, once again, here he is right now, general manager of Fort Worth Vaqueros, Anthony Harris, joining me. Anthony, good evening, and how are you?
Hey, good evening, sir. Thank you for having me. Sorry I'm a couple minutes late.
That's quite all right. As long as you're on, that's all that matters. Bit of a rough start so far to your season so far. You haven't done well in your first two matches. What has been the issues at the moment, and what do you think can be fixed?
Excuse me. Yeah, so it has been a rough start. It's definitely, you know, Coach Tony was on the – we had a post-game interview last night, and he talked about a few things, and definitely seeing some improvement in even the last two matches. And even these last two matches, we've already had more goals than we had in the first three or four last year. So he's seeing improvement, but I think right now our biggest issue is just where we're needing our players to gel. We're kind of been around for 10 years, and so we've added in this year and last year we added in a bunch of new players, younger guys, a lot of college players, and we're just needing them to get that cohesive piece and put it together.
To ask you, you know, when you started off a couple years ago, obviously, the support that I've seen through social media from the Fort Worth area has been absolutely fantastic. You know, sure, we always talk about FC Dallas, Houston Dynamo, currently Austin FC coming into MLS, and San Antonio in USL Championship as well, and now, of course, El Paso. But to see what Fort Worth has done, the people of Fort Worth have done to gravitate towards the Vaqueros, what has that meant to you as part of this club?
You know what? I mean, it means everything, because without that, obviously our club doesn't exist. We're here for the community, for the city, and, you know, I'm in a tough market. You know, we've got FC Dallas not too far. We've got Texas Rangers. We've got Dallas Cowboys. We've got TCU football, so we're in a tough market here. So just to continue to have that support over the last 10 years, it means the world to me. I came in a crazy year. I started a month before the shutdown in 2020. So it was obviously a crazy year. I didn't know that I was coming, but we made it work. And then every year after that, we've seen improvement in fan attendance at our games and on social media, like you mentioned. And so, yeah, just to continue to see that, means the world to me.
No, fantastic to hear. And, you know, obviously this Lone Star Conference, it's a battle every night, isn't it? It's facing on these teams. I know West Texas is brand new, a couple of brand new clubs here so far, but obviously Laredo Heat, Denton Diablos, Corinthians of San Antonio, Lubbock Matadors, Irving FC, now called Gallows FC, and yourselves and CF10 Houston. This has to be probably one of the biggest and baddest knock-em-out, drag-em-out conferences in the entire league.
Oh, man, you said it. It seems like every year I look at the conference, and, you know, early on in the season when we're setting up our schedule and we're looking at all the teams in the conference, I look at it and I'm like, man, this continues to stay to be an extremely competitive conference. And even just the other teams that in our market, they put on some great experiences for fans, and I look at them and I'm like, you know, even from the front office, we have to compete and put on a great experience as well for our fans, and then we try that every single game. But, the conference gets harder and harder every year.
Why has Texas players have been so competitive? I mean, look, everyone's competitive, I know. I mean, I'm familiar with the New York, New Jersey area. Everyone always talks about St. Louis. Now we're seeing the markets are being better in California, now in Florida. But why do you think the entire state of Texas has been this good for so long recently?
That's a really good question. You know, I mean, in my personal belief, I think it's probably a little bit of two really big components. One is that obviously Texas has a huge Latin community, and not just, Hispanics from Mexico, but all of Central and South America. And obviously football and soccer is huge in South America. And so it's always had that Latin support in the sport. But then also DFW is, I think the other component is the youth aspect. We've seen more and more youth clubs continue to grow and pop up over the years. And it's those youth that are coming up and now playing in the NPSL. And DFW has been one of the hottest markets for youth soccer all over the country. And so just as an example, last night, you know, we had a walkout. We had a special walkout out front because Joseph Cervantes, our longtime Vaqueros player who played with us since the very beginning, 2013, he walked out with the kid that he walked out with 8 years ago. He was 11 at the time, and now he's 19. And it just shows the fans that they continue to be around, but it's that youth component that has been so strong over the years, and it just keeps growing.
Now, out of curiosity, we all know about the Dallas Cup, and that's one of the most premier youth club soccer tournaments, not just in the United States, but in the world. Everyone flies into Dallas to send their youth academy teams to perform in whatever age range that they're able to send a club from around the world. Has the Vaqueros done that as well, and have you done so in consecutive seasons?
Just rephrase that question again, sorry.
No, have you brought the Dallas Cup has always been the premier youth tournament for, you know, club sides to enter, and you faced, you know, some of the best academy, you know, youth teams from around the world from the different age groups. I mean, have the Vaqueros sent a youth club as well to these Dallas Cup games or not yet?
Yeah, so our youth club is actually brand new. It launched 2 months ago, and it's already kicking off extremely strong and getting momentum every single day. But our youth club actually kicked off about 2 months ago, and we're going to get started here in a couple months with 6 to 10 teams. So we're just getting started there. Now, we have had a youth academy, which was our nonprofit. We launched that about 4 years ago. And those kids play on the teams here in the local area, and they compete in some tournaments outside of state as well, but mostly local.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And you know, once again, that Dallas Cup tournament has been such a breath of fresh air to give all these wonderful players in the youth department, whether it's domestic or abroad, to give these guys an opportunity to go down there and to be a part of everything that's been going on in the Dallas, Fort Worth, and Frisco area. Obviously, it's held all the time by FC Dallas, so, you know, that's always a fun time to be in. Which is the player that you've maintained that has been your best player so far for the Vaqueros in current seasons?
In, like, the last few seasons? So, like I said, there's a lot of new players added this season, and then we actually added a lot of new ones last year, too. You know, I can think of two guys that kind of have always been hugely consistent on and off the field, great representatives of the club and citizens of the community. Both of them, well, one of them has been with us since the very beginning, and I mentioned his name here, Joseph Cervantes, who we dubbed the original Mr. Vaquero. He's been with us from the very beginning, and we can always count on him. And then most recently, the last few years, Rio Ramirez, who is actually back with us this season. He played with us. He started with us probably, if I'm not mistaken, about 4 or 5 years. And then he's gone on and played a little bit of a professional indoor as well as also professional outdoor. And this season he's back with us.
No, that's great to hear. That's wonderful to hear. And hopefully you guys can – I mean, it's like I said, it's only been the first two games of the season, and there's definitely enough time to turn things around and hopefully grab a playoff spot. But who do you think right now is the most dangerous side to start this season in your conference right now? I know who it might be, but I want to get it from you first.
Yeah, well – you know, we came back last night, put 2 goals against San Antonio, and I feel like we competed well against that team. They showed some pretty good strength in the game last night. Obviously, Denton won it 2 years ago. I feel like every year we always have Laredo to look after and just keep our eye on them. They always come out with really strong players, a really strong club, and for me it's just one of the teams that I always kind of gravitate towards keeping an eye on is Laredo.
Mm-hmm. No, very true. And, you know, J.J. Vela, one of those great owners in your conference, definitely invested in this game in the Texas area. Of course, I was going to go with Damon Gochner and Denton because we all know how crazy he is. And I'm being kind about it because I think you know as well as I do, Damon loves to be a bit crazy when he talks about his club and everything. But still, though, you know, I enjoy everything that goes on with all the clubs in this league, especially yours as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and both JJ and Damon are both great guys. Damon actually came out and supported us last night, so I got to see him, shake his hand, see him and his son. So I appreciate them coming out and supporting them. But that's, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because while we may be one of the most competitive conferences on the pitch, I think everyone in the ownership group and the front offices of all of these teams, they're just all standout people. And every time we get a chance to get together, I just really love connecting with all of them.
No, absolutely. Fantastic to hear. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that, you know, you have a youth team ready to go and just started to perform. And once again, it's always great to see an NPSL side always, you know, starting up youth clubs and youth teams, academy teams, and, you know, have those players ready to go for the main side when they're ready to go. But other than that, once again, what were we expecting from this season? Obviously, I know making the playoffs is one, but, you know, are you hoping for an Open Cup run at least for 2024 to at least make a deep run into the playoffs if you do qualify for it?
Yeah, absolutely we are. We're obviously, you know, expecting playoffs and a good open opportunity for the Open Cup. And I will say I think that's part of Tony Marola, our coach Tony Marola's goal as well. He even mentioned it last night that excuse me, his biggest goal or one of his big goals for this season is kind of just building on what we had already started last year. So he's in his second season. He started last year with a good squad. We were going to add to that and build to that, and that's pretty much what he's been doing. Unfortunately, we did have two really key players that are out for injuries this year, and we expected that we hoped that they would be back before the end of the season, but it doesn't look like they're going to make it back. So we're missing them. But, yeah, his goal is really just to build on last year and do better than we did last year. And then hopefully that means playoffs. Hopefully that means an Open Cup run.
Well, that's going to be great, and hopefully you do make it to the Open Cup for 2024. We'll see what happens there. But I just want to say, Anthony, thank you for your time. I hope your cough gets better, and take some chicken soup and call me in the morning.
Man, I've been taking that for a week now, and I'm hoping it gets better, too, because it's driving me nuts.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to get it. You'll be able to kick that out of your system. I really do hope so. But Anthony, thank you again so much for joining me tonight, and have a good evening and good luck with the rest of the season.
Yes, thank you very much for having us, and I appreciate the support.
Awesome. Thank you very much. That's once again Anthony Harris, general manager of the Fort Worth Vaqueros, and this has been another fantastic episode of the 2023 MPSL Soccer Show season, show number 6. So I want to thank my guests for tonight. I want to thank John Melody from the Erie Commodores, Andrew Wildgus of Atlantic City FC, Dean Muckle, assistant coach of Michigan Rangers, Jack Marchant, head coach of Georgia Revolution, and now Anthony Harris, general manager of Fort Worth Vaqueros. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me again this coming Monday for another regular Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Next Friday will be another U.S. Open Cup review show for Round 5, and then, of course, CONCACAF Champions League review shows coming up as well. Once again, as always, please enjoy your football. This has been the National Premier Soccer League show on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Thank you for joining me tonight. Take care, so long, and bye-bye for now.